For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, September the 1st, 1984. Labor Day weekend deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the morning.
We are continually learning the mysteries of the Lord. And a lot of these things that we're ignorant of is because we have not been taught, even though it's in the Word of the Lord. And for some reason, those our forefathers before us have overlooked what God's revealing in this hour. And most of the things that we talk about, or you hear Irma and I teach, are things that God has showed us by a revelation. And at the time that these things have happened, we were not aware that anybody else knew anything about it. But I know that isn't true, because there's always, the Lord doesn't show just one party one thing. Where He shows one, He's showing somebody else somewhere else. And then as time has gone on, we have run across others who have brought confirmation to what we have learned or seen or heard or found in the Word of the Lord, and helped us to know that we weren't sidetracked or off somewhere in left field. But even then, with confirmation, a lot of these things that the Lord has revealed and is showing to His people are very controversial. And most of traditional, let's say, Pentecostal people who have for years felt that they have arrived are basically the main ones who disagree with you and cause the problems of disagreement. Of course, the traditional denominational churches, it's much easier for a lot of them to receive the things that God is doing today than it is for we so-called Pentecostal people who thought that we had everything and we were the only ones. But how sick we have been, and how much in error our theology has been, because we have followed maybe more tradition than those who we call traditionalists, because we have closed ourselves in and felt that we had arrived. And I'm sorry to tell me and everybody else that there ain't nobody what's arrived yet. And that's right. We're looking towards the goal. We're running the race, but we haven't gotten there. At least I haven't. If you have, praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what I expect if you have. I expect when you walk down the street, I expect the lame to get up and walk. And I expect the demons to cry out. And I expect the sick to be healed by your shadow. If you've arrived, that's what I expect to follow you down the street when you walk down the street. But I believe that we are coming to a place where there are people who desire to see God flow in that way. And I seek, but God's looking for people who have a compassion for the lost, for the sick, for the hurting, for those who are bound in the chains of sin, sickness, and drugs and alcohol and all of these things. God is looking for a people who will have a broken and a contrite spirit, who weep between the porch and the altar, seeking God to bring a manifestation of His power unto His people. God's looking for you and me to be part of those people. We can only get there if we determine that we're going to seek the face of the Lord and cry out unto Him and ask Him to give us a broken and a contrite spirit for the sins of God's people. Now, it's good to be concerned about the sinner, but God's Bible is not written to the sinner. The Word of God is not written to the sinner. I know Jesus came that all the world might be saved. Bible, the Word of God, is to God's people first. And then we are to be the light which draws the others unto Himself. We have to get that light in us. Well, this morning, for a little while, I'm going to talk about a subject that came to our understanding, and it's partly in relation to the sins of our forefathers, through an incident that happened here at the campground, and it's the eating of blood and fat. And to it'll be 2 years this coming February, last week in January, that we were having Bible study here on Thursday nights. And in the course of the study, we were studying different things about the blood of Jesus. And I was reading in the book of Leviticus chapter 3, and I was talking about different aspects of the blood of Jesus in relation to the sprinkling of the blood, the applying of the blood, the washing with the blood. And I was using all the different scriptures in relationship to that, and the fact of the air that Pentecostal people use, which God has honored. He's honored ignorance. But we have said, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. And we were going down through the scriptures, and I was pointing out all the different aspects of the blood of the Lord Jesus, and that the statement, I plead the blood, is an erroneous statement and it was without foundation in the Bible. But God has honored our ignorance and winked at it, but it's time that we change from our ignorance and rightly divide the word of the Lord. And we were studying that this night. And you see, since I mentioned that, I'll back up a moment. My mother came into, and my father came into this walk when I was just after I was born. And tradition in the Pentecostal line, all say, I plead the blood. And when the Lord showed me this, I told my mother, I said, Mother, that's not right, and but she still does it today. She's 84 years old and going strong, and she can keep up with me. She went to the Solomon Islands and to the Philippines, missionary trip to see my sister and her husband and my and their son and daughter who are missionaries in the Philippines and the Solomons last year, and went by herself and made the trip fine. So she's doing well for 84. But Jesus died on the cross and gave his blood for us freely. It's a gift. And anything that's a gift, you don't plead for. So that's what I was teaching on. And just saying that it's an erroneous error and we need to correct our ways and rightly divide the word and use and apply the blood of the Lord Jesus, which when we pray, we can sprinkle with the blood, we can wash with the blood, we can cover with the blood, and I believe there are five applications of the blood. But to say I plead the blood is that there's no scripture for it because it's a free gift. And what's given to you freely, you don't plead for. Well, anyway, that's what we were studying that night, and in the course of the study, one of my scriptures that I used was the 13th verse of the 3rd chapter of Leviticus. And I was using it. It says, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar around about. And for some reason, unbeknownst to me, I finished reading the chapter. Made no more comments except that here was a scripture that gives us a right to sprinkle the blood. And there are several scriptures that do, not just this one. And I finished reading the chapter. And the last verse of this chapter reads, and it shall be a perpetual statute. Perpetual, that's forever, isn't it? For your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. I made no comments about it and went on. Just left it at that. That night or the next night, I don't know, somewhere that night, Becky Hall, who lives here on the campground, she may be here this morning. I don't know if she had to go to town, but anyway, the Lord woke Becky up in the middle of the night. And the Lord impressed on her to get up and to look up all the scriptures she could find about the blood and the fat. And she did a search on the scriptures concerning the blood and the fat. And there are 20-some scriptures that we now know of in the Bible concerning blood and fat. And the Lord, after she did this, the Lord spoke to her and said, that is the cause of sugar diabetes in your family. It's an inherited curse in your family. It's from eating blood, basically blood and fat. And then she remembered that her great-grandmother, and even her grandmother, made blood sausage and blood pudding. And then she remembered very vividly that her great-grandmother had died of sugar diabetes. Her grandmother died of sugar diabetes. Her mother died of sugar diabetes. She has two sisters who are in the very horrible stages of sugar diabetes. One of them has lost both of her feet. And she just that Tuesday had gone to the doctor for a checkup, and the doctor had told her that she was on the verge of sugar diabetes. And here we had read that scripture and passed by it, and the Lord had used it to bring this revelation of the sins of her ancestors and the cause for a disease to her. And Sunday morning she came back in the morning service, and when I asked if there was anybody who would like prayer, she stood up and said, I'd like to say something, and then I want prayer. And so then she related just what I have just related. And then she said, I want you to anoint me with oil and lay hands on me and pray for me and break this curse from off of me of my family's inherited sins of eating blood contrary to the word of the Lord. And so then I said, well, is there any others here? There was about a half a dozen or so. And I said, I'll tell you what, Becky, you come here and I'll anoint you in behalf of everybody, and we'll pray for everybody in the congregation this morning. And we did that, and Becky has had no more problems with to this time. The Lord delivered her and set her free because we took authority over it and broke the curse of the sins of her ancestors and loosed her from that power of Satan that was rightfully his in this ancestral line to the fourth generation. And she wasn't down to the fourth generation yet. She was only down to the second. See, there was her mother who hadn't done it, and she, and there's still two more to go before it ran out. And so let's look at Genesis chapter 9. You know, people can say there's nothing to these things, and they can, but when you have the reality of it, and it has happened, and you can speak because it's a fact, you can't be gainsaid. People can say that's Old Testament, it's all done away with, you don't live under that. Well, I've got news for you. It's one book, not two. It's one book, not two. I've got some more news for you. The New Testament doesn't start where it's divided, Mark, Luke, and John. There's no New Testament until Jesus came out of the grave. Jesus lived, taught, and walked under what we call the Old Testament. Everything Jesus did is Old Testament. There's no New Testament until he came out of the grave. Then it's new. The new covenant begins. It began at the cross and was finished when he came out of the grave. If he hadn't come out of the grave, there would be no new covenant. And there would be nothing that we would call the New Testament. So be careful how we divide the word of the Lord and separate God's word. For it is all one book and one word. And Jesus is that word. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 4. But with the flesh thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 7. Verse 23 of Leviticus 7. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat, of ox, or of sheep, or of goat. Very interesting verse. and the fat of the breast that beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beast, may be used in any other use, but you shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be a fowl or a beast, in any of your dwellings. And whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Now, maybe we won't be cut off by dropping dead, but we can sure be cut off by disease and sickness, and have an untimely death before our time. And Satan can do something and cause us to die prematurely because we've disobeyed the word of the Lord. Now this verse 23 here, you notice that it says, you shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat. That only mentions the animal family. Doesn't say anything about the fowl family. Doesn't say anything about chickens, the fat of a chicken. Doesn't say a thing about that. And so I believe that chicken broth is the fat of chicken to make chicken broth with, and chicken noodle soup, as far as I can find in the scriptures, that is allowed by the word of the Lord. That's not the fat that God refers to here. Let's look over in Acts chapter 15. And we find that Paul, that this is picked up here in the book of Acts. And again, lets us to know that God's law is not done away with just because Jesus died on the cross. But that we write unto them, verse 20, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Verse 29 says that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, you shall do well. Let's see, I got another. Verse chapter 21, we find it again. Verse 25 in chapter 21, it's mentioned again. As touching the heathen which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such things, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Paul is picked up here again and said that we should keep from blood and from things that are strangled. Now, there are 20-some scriptures throughout the scriptures that apply to the eating of blood and blood. We went last fall to Nebraska? Well, anyway, we were up in Nebraska. It was a year ago last spring, because it's when the big blizzard came in the spring. We went to Nebraska, and we were out in a place that's the Pollock capital of the world, supposedly. And we had spoke at a Full Gospel Business Men's meeting there. And we had a packed house, the largest crowd they'd ever had, they said. It was packed out. And I talked about this here, along with some other things. And when I finished talking, we had prayer like we did here this morning for anybody who needed prayer for anything or deliverance. We had prayer for them. And two ladies came up for prayer. And these two women were very much overweight, almost obese. They had arthritis, and they had high blood pressure, and they had all kinds of things wrong with them. And they wanted me to pray for them. So I prayed for them. And I prayed for one, and she kept having me pray for something else, and something else, and something else. And I finally got through with her, and the other lady with her did the same thing. And then after I got all through praying, they said to me, "We don't agree with you about eating blood. We make blood soup all the time. It's very good for you. It's quick energy, and we don't agree with you, and we're not going to change our ways." What are you going to do? They're going to continue with just what they've got. I had wasted my time praying for them. They'd taken up all this time when others were wanting to be prayed for, and they had wasted the Lord's time because they were in rebellion against what the word of the Lord says. I don't care what the word says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then they had the audacity to go over where Irma was, had sat down, and begin to argue with her about what I had talked about. Well, help us that when the word of the Lord comes and we see a revelation of God's word and the fact of it and that it worked, that we accept it and don't rebel against it. Too long we have been had rebellion and are in rebellion against the word of the Lord because tradition, because somebody said this or somebody said that, and we've taken tradition instead of looking up for ourselves to see if these things be so or not. That's our problem. That's the problem with the whole body of Christ. They've taken what somebody else has said instead of looking through the word to see if these things be so or not. I praise the Lord for the word of the Lord that's coming across through the nation today, that men and women, Brother James Robinson and Brother Green and others that are standing up and saying this, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. It is written. It is written. Hallelujah. And I appreciate that. That's what we need. We need to know that it is written so that we can come out from underneath these bondages and these things that harass us and cause us the problems that we have in our lives. And I thank God for His mercy and His grace that some of these things He has shown and brought to our attention, we who here at the campground, and then we have found that others are also, the Lord's bringing this revelation to them. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 20. It says, "Be not among winebibbers or among riotous eaters of flesh." Now, before we ever were aware of what we're discussing here this morning, and when this came to light, we realized something else that we had seen. When we used to be in the aerospace missile industry, and there was one place, one company that we worked for, that there was a woman that we got acquainted with, and this woman ate a pound of raw hamburger every day. It's very common. Very common. But you will find that people who eat raw meat or like rare meat have a lust problem. They have a problem with lust. There is a sex drive that comes with rare and raw meat that is unnatural. And people who do that have a lust problem that is uncontrollable. And there's another thing that comes with it, which also is listed right here in this verse I said. It says, "Be not among winebibbers." Those who drink strong drink have a tendency to have a spirit of anger and rage. It also goes with those who like rare and raw meat. They get angry easily and have problems with fits of rage, just as well as with the lust problem. So the word of the Lord, you see, when we begin to see these things and we find that the word of the Lord tells us about it, we need to take heed to it and change our ways. I don't believe that we should eat any meat that is red enough for there to be any blood to come out of it. I believe that the word tells us not to. So if any of you like rare meat, ask the Lord to forgive you and change your ways. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy 12. Verse 16. "Only you shall not eat the blood, you shall pour it upon the earth as water." Verse 23. "Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life, and thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. Thou shalt not eat it, thou shalt pour it upon the earth as water, thou shalt not eat it, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord." And verse 28 says, "Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, even when thou dost that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God." And verse 32 says, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." And we find that same scripture in the book of Revelations. not add to nor take away. And too long we have all added to and taken away from the word of the Lord, both in ignorance and because of tradition. And God is calling a people today to a time when we change our ways, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we find that the word of the Lord requires it. And that's it. If the word of the Lord requires it, then I am obligated to want to do it. I am not to argue about it. I'm not to say I don't believe it. If you don't believe it, you search the word until you're satisfied for yourself. You be the one who comes to the conclusion of what the word of the Lord says. But God says that we'll not add to nor take away. And when we do, he'll take our name out of the book of life. If we take away and say, I don't believe that, then we're taking away from the word of the Lord. Also, when we add to or take away, but we are sinning against the Lord in the fact that we're bringing the curses upon us. You see, we want to live under the blessings and not under the curses. But the curses come. The curse, we're told that the curse causeless shall come. And it will come when we disobey the word of the Lord. We automatically get it. And so I trust that this little teaching will enlighten you this morning and help you to change your ways to live according to the word of the Lord. Now, Irma's going to come and talk to us this morning some more about another revelation of the word of the Lord that came to us since we've been here. And it happened here in town and here in Hot Springs. And it was a great, great revelation to us. And it has been to many, many other people. And some of you sitting here have had this same revelation in different ways. But it is, bring no abominable thing into your house. Irma's going to come and talk about that this morning. And then we probably will have prayer concerning these items before we eat today. Irma?
You may think we get down to the nitty-gritty and are kind of tedious with our teaching. But, you know, if you've ever worked around things that have to be perfect, then you just have to be perfect. Now, everybody says, oh, well, nobody's perfect. But God says, be ye perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. When we were working in the aerospace industry on the Moonshot program, those scientists required nothing but perfection. I mean, ultimate perfection. It must be right. Every equation had to be exactly right. And our company happened to have the prime contract. We were first vendor at North American Aviation. We could get all the typing we wanted every day, and twice more than we wanted, and twice what we needed. It literally almost killed us, working night and day and night and day. But those scientists and those engineers were in such unity, you cannot believe the flow, the spirit. It was a spirit connected with it to get that man on the moon and get him on there and bring him back alive. And we were all caught up in that spirit, even though we were an outside company. Every day we were there picking up work, sometimes four or five times a day. And God requires that of Christians. But Christians think, oh, well, I got saved and that's the end of it. But it isn't the end of it. We're only beginning, and I want to start again where I started yesterday. I'm not like the preacher who preached the same sermon. They called a new preacher at a Baptist church, and he preached the same sermon every Sunday morning. And finally, the board of deacons come and said, well, don't you know anything else to preach? He said, soon as you do this, then I'll teach you something else. Let's look at the second chapter of Joel again, and the last verse. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, say I'm a whosoever, shall call on the name of the Lord. Repeat this. Lord, we want to be delivered. All right, the Lord says, you shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, God today is bringing forth an army. He's calling out a remnant. And I tell you, when James Robinson began to teach deliverance and talk about the claw that came out of his head, we were excited. We were excited because sometimes it seems like there's only just a little nucleus of people who believe in deliverance, and you're bombarded from every side and fought from every side until you wonder, is it really worth it? And sometimes I have felt, Lord, heaven is easier, would be much easier than this. This is hard. But you know, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And I remember in 1965 when Glenn and I were brought into deliverance, I went up and down my hall. We had a great big house in Northridge, California, and I went up and down the hall with my hands up in the air. I shut all the bedroom doors and close off everything so I could really call out and all the neighbors wouldn't be over there. And I'd say, Lord, deliver me from all evil. Deliver me, Lord, from all evil. And I'd wait till Glenn went to town, and then I'd go to town. I'd really pray. And the Lord began to deliver us in all strange and different ways. Now, I like to experience everything. Then you can't talk me out of it. I've had two children, and you can never talk me out of how much pain there is in having a baby. And I tell you, deliverance is painful to the flesh. It hurts. I remember Derek Prince used to go around, and he'd say to me, he'd come up to the book tables after we sold our business through a very miraculous way, and we started traveling with the Full Gospel Businessmen, and I was running the book tables and tapes, and Glenn was making the tapes. Derek Prince used to walk by me, and I guess God has ways to deal with rebellious women. And he'd say, you are the most rebellious person. And I didn't know why I was rebellious. I always minded my parents, and I always minded the school teachers, and I always got my lessons, and I didn't know why I was rebellious. But he saw something in me that I did not know about. And one day, he started to get it out, but he let me suffer quite a long time. And I would really cry out for deliverance, and the Lord has to show us. If you ask the Lord to turn the light on you, he's going to turn the light. Let the light of the Holy Ghost get down in our hearts. Our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know them? Only the Holy Ghost can know them. All right, the Lord is calling a remnant. Now, everybody understand. Now, how many want to be in this remnant? Okay, now let's go over to Obadiah, just a little bit over. There's only one chapter of Obadiah, so you have to kind of look for it in between, before Jonah. And the 17th verse, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Now, I mentioned yesterday that we are the Israel of God. We are the Israel of God. We are God's people. Corinthians tells us that. Paul tells us that. In the Old Testament, God called them Israelites. In the New Testament, he calls us the church, doesn't he? How many know this building is not the church? You are the church. You and I are the church, aren't we? And it says there shall be deliverance on Mount Zion. Now, Zion is a high place in God. It is the wholeness, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us. Some people might call it this remnant, the man-child company, or they might call it the overcomers, or they might call it the sons, or what else, eagle saints, that's right. All of these different callings, but it's a high place in God. It means that the enemy has been cast out of our flesh, and the Holy Spirit has come into us to fill us. How many want to be full of God, full of the Spirit? We all do. And there shall be holiness. It takes some holiness. I don't mean how to cut your hair and how to wear your clothes. I don't mean that. We all ought to have enough sense how to do that. But it's the inner being, the inner man must turn to God with all his heart. And God is a holy God. The more we are like God, the more I am like Jesus, the more holy I will want to be. And the 21st verse, and saviors shall come upon Mount Zion. Saviors. Who did we say that meant? Deliverers shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, some people teach that we're all going to fly away any minute. I don't want to fly away. I want to stay right here for the battle. The kingdom is the Lord's, and we must take it back from the enemy. Adam gave it away, and this remnant, this army, is going to take it back from the enemy. And he is worried. I think he might even be having a nervous breakdown. James Robinson and Milton Green's enough to give him a nervous breakdown. And we've been here 10 years giving him some problems. Well, anyway, that was yesterday for all of you who weren't here, and I do appreciate all of you who've come in from Texas, and I might say that we've ordered a lot of beef out of Texas to feed these Texans, and tonight these girls are going to give you barbecued beef. Is that all right? Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Now, before I get into the abominations, Glenn doesn't usually tell me what to talk about, and the Lord had already put something else on me, so I have to blame my husband, but I'll get around to that in just a minute. I'm going to talk, he said talk about abominations, so this does have something to do with abominations, but it's not what he has in mind. I'm going to talk about Sodom, sins of Sodom. Everybody thinks homosexuals right away. Well, that's one thing. But there were a lot of other sins in Sodom. A lot of them. And I want you to turn to Ezekiel 16. Now, in the aerospace industry, it was not hard for us to discern homosexuality. The art departments are loaded. We were always in the art departments and in the publication part of it and in the typing and photo departments. And the arts seems to be the place that catches all of these people. But homosexuality can be delivered. You can be delivered from that. Lesbianism, you can be delivered from that. But I'm not going to talk about that this morning. I'm going to talk about the other sins. And when we get through, then we're going to have a deliverance service of sodomy. And we won't be able, and you won't be able to tell, unless you're moving in the gifts of the Spirit, of discerning of spirits, but we don't want to embarrass anybody. We're going to have a master deliverance for sodomy. And I dare say that maybe all of you might have a part of sodomy in you. Okay? 16th chapter of Ezekiel, 49th verse. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. All right, we have. And they were haughty and committed abomination. There's the word, Glenn. I want you to be sure. I want him to be sure and get this now. Before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good. All right, we have pride, we have gluttony, we have idleness, we have selfishness, haughtiness. All of those are sins of Sodom. Think about it just a little bit. Pride, gluttony, idleness, and selfishness. Self-centered, ignoring God, humanism, fat, being fat, eating fat, all the fat is the Lord's, the Bible said. I wanted him to take all my fat. I don't want it. How many like to be delivered from the fat, extra fat you've got on your body? Sure. You see, the doctors, the diets are not going to work. They never work. There are so many diets that if you follow all those diets, you're just on a diet all the time and then you're gaining more weight back. God really destroyed Sodom because of pride, didn't he? And he says that a proud heart is an abomination to him. I think there's nothing worse. I hate the pride that's still in me. I hate it. How many hate pride? Say, Lord, deliver us from pride. And deliver us from gluttony. Oh, my, I walked you right into that one. You know, people would rather us pray for fear and envy than they would gluttony. Isn't that strange? But they would. Overeating, drinking, eating and drinking, eating and drinking. It is shocking how many Christians still are drinking. I was brought up in the old school. My daddy was an Assembly of God minister way back starting in 1932. And, boy, we were delivered out of drinking. He was delivered when he got saved from drinking. They used to make home brew when I was a little tiny girl and give it to me to watch my eyes snap. They said, But praise God, I never did get into alcoholism. I'm glad the Lord provided deliverance for that through the Word or through the Pentecostal teaching. But eating and drinking, surfeiting in these last days, and I don't mean regular eating. I think that God is calling a people to start eating right. And when Sister Thomas got on that eating yesterday, I tell you, that was some sermon. And if you haven't ordered that tape, you need that tape. We all need to listen to that tape again. We have youth camps here almost every week all summer. And different sections of the country depends on what they eat, the children will eat. They're all teenagers, you know, junior high and high school kids. We all laugh and say, if it's junk food and not good for them, they'll sure eat it. But if you feed them good roast beef and gravy and mashed potatoes and vegetables, they won't touch that. They're out at the Coke machine. Minute before dinner's even over, they're throwing all their food away and going to the Coke machine. But God is expecting all of us to have good and strong bodies. Now, Glenn and I, when we sold that business way back when, we were about 50 years old. Or were we 50 years old yet? And I tell you, it's hard work typing day and night. I don't know if you've ever tried to type equations night and day. We were 44, 45 years old, and we thought nothing about working all night. I used to type all night and call on the customers all day, go to Lockheed and go to Litton and go to Douglas and bid on jobs, and I thought nothing about it. I just was used to it. My body does not rule me. I will not let my body rule me. I hope I let the Holy Spirit rule me. Spirit, but everybody's just body, soul, and spirit, but we've got it all turned around. It's spirit, by the spirit, and in the mind, the soul acts out what the spirit is telling it to do, and the body is the slave. But I tell you, when we came here, some of you have heard our testimony. I almost came dragging my feet. Glenn got the revelation and the vision of this place. I didn't, but I am his helpmate, and we've been married 43 years, I think, or 44. And I tell you, it was difficult. It is hard. I'm not standing up here saying that deliverance is easy. It's very difficult, and it's very hard to stand up and have the Holy Spirit and the Lord show you what's in people, and then you have to tell them. And sometimes we don't want to tell them. Sometimes it's just too awful to tell them. But we have to obey the Lord. We have pride, gluttony, idleness, abundance of idleness. You know, there are thousands upon thousands of lazy Christians. They don't want to get up in the morning. They don't want to pray for anybody else. They want you to do all their praying. They want you to do all their Bible reading. They want everything on a platter. Now, the Lord serves us tremendous abundance of everything. But after we start growing, He expects us to do something. And if we don't read the Bible, if we don't read the Word of God, if we don't hide it in our hearts, we're going to come up missing. There are people that come here that time after time after time, we have to pray for the same thing. I understand that because this demon thing is so new to most people, and all of us, we're still in the experimental stage. We're still learning. We don't have all the answers. Even though we've been here 10 years, and before that we were into deliverance in California, we do not have all the answers. And it isn't any cut and dried thing. Sometimes I know what's in a person, and sometimes we confess, we pray, and it doesn't come out. And some ministries have told us that sometimes God just will not let you deliver those people because they're not ready for it. They'd only get seven times worse. You understand? The Bible says they go out and walk around in dry ground, and then they come back, and they're seven times worse. But the Lord is delivering a lot of people. But we cannot be idle. Idle words, that's the flopping of this tongue. Idle words, idle words. When sometimes we could be quoting scripture, meditating, we're just talking, 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 talking. And God is dealing with idle words. He's dealing with people that have a lot of time and are will not pick up a chair and straighten it. Walk in and walk out. They don't want to do anything. They just want to come to church on Sunday morning. They want to come to church in the middle of the week, maybe, if they want to. They want to walk. And they want to be idle. But God is not going to put up with laziness. America has organized laziness. Do you know it? Organized laziness. They want shorter work weeks. God works 6 days a week, but they want 4 days now. More coffee breaks, longer. It used to be 5 minutes, then it came to 10 minutes. Now it's 15 minutes, and get 20 if you could do it. Longer holidays, more fun in the sun. We've got a cult of idleness in America and among Christians, and we have to change. We don't need as much relaxation as you think you need. You know that? God doesn't even slumber and sleep ever. He's always there. You can get up in the middle of the night and talk to God, and he's right there. He'll answer you, won't he? Is that right, Brother Thomas? This is Dr. Thomas. He's got all kinds of degrees, and he preached a tremendous sermon last night in a different sort of way, and we all learned a lot. How many enjoyed that last night? Now, I'm going to go over to something that Glenn wants me to tell about in the book of Deuteronomy. This happened about 7 or 8 years ago, and it was an incident. I knew nothing about this scripture. I can't help it, but I didn't know about it. Now, I should have known about it all the years that we've been saved and filled with the Spirit. I should have known about this scripture, but it had never entered my head. I had never heard a sermon on it in my whole life. But a man, 7th chapter, a man was sick in the hospital with a heart attack, and they called Glenn to come and pray for him. And Glenn went up to the hospital and walked into intensive care and commanded death to leave and life to flow in. And that man sat up and got better. And his daughter wrote Glenn a letter, and it was a little teeny tiny card. It was when they could send those little tiny cards through the mail. And she said, "Thanks for praying for my dad. And please pray for me sometime. I'm sick too." I didn't know the girl. I had seen her twice, and I did not know her. She was married to a lawyer, and I had no idea what was wrong with her. I didn't know at all. And one day, I set it on my calendar on my desk. Things that I really want to think about or pray about or meditate, I set up on my calendar. And then every time I look at the calendar, I see that, and then I pray about it. I had been praying about it, but I didn't go any further than that. One day I was going to town, and as I passed by her house, the cloud of glory came down over me. How many know what that is? It was just like fire covered me and surrounded me and within me, and it just boiled up. And I knew that was an anointing of God, that I should go in there and pray for that girl. But I didn't want to go in there because I didn't even know her, really. I went on to town. I went to the post office and two or three errands, came back to the market, parked at the market, and walked down to the market door, and that the glory of the Lord flooded my soul again. Now, I like the Holy Ghost and fire. How many like the Holy Ghost and fire? When that fire of God comes upon you people, that's the anointing of God, and it's the anointing that's going to destroy these yokes on us. And I knew the anointing of God. I tell you, the old-time Pentecostals, we know the anointing, but we haven't always had it. And I would have that all the time if I knew how to keep it and do it and have it and knew what I didn't say anything or do anything. I was just riding and driving in the car, and I don't even know what I was thinking about. And all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord came over me, and I got down to that market, and the glory of the Lord came over me again, and I thought, now if I go in there and buy ice cream and meat and all my groceries, I won't want to stop, but I should stop and pray for that girl. So I guess I better go back, and I went back to the car, came halfway home, and I saw her mother's car. I knew her mother. I saw her mother's car in the driveway. So I went up and knocked, and her father came to the door. And he was crying. And this is the same man that had had the heart trouble. I said, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" And he said, "Well, they gave her up today. They gave her up." I said, "Gave her up? What is the matter with her?" He said, "Well, she has cancer of the colon." I said, "Oh, my. How many have ever walked in hospital rooms and you just feel like you're limp? What can you do with a cancer patient that's dying?" This girl weighed, 68 pounds. But I didn't know she weighed 68 pounds. The mother, probably, I don't know how old she was then, maybe about 30. And her father says, "Go on in the bedroom." Her mother's back there with her. And I walked in the bedroom, and I wasn't prepared. for what I saw. She was propped up on one of those pillows, and she was sitting sort of just like this, and just skin and bones, and I couldn't believe my eyes. And the first thing I said to her was not me. Some things does not come through your head. When the Holy Spirit gets ready to speak through you, he comes right up and out of you. And I heard myself say, I don't know how to pray for you in English. I'll have to pray for you in tongues. Now, I knew that girl was a Nazarene, belonged to the Nazarene church. I would have never said that in a million years in my own self. And she said, that'll be all right. And I walked over to her with, there was a sheath of fire, light coming down over me and coming out through this hand. And I put my hand on her head and started to pray in the Spirit. And when I did, it was about, I think the Holy Spirit prayed about three lines. And then I felt this tremendous flow, and I put my hand on her head, and I started talking to her, telling her, I didn't know you were this sick. I didn't know you were in bed sick like this, and I wish I would have known it before. And I just kept, that flow just kept flowing into her, the virtue of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And it just flowed in and flowed in and flowed in. And when I finished praying, I just stood there, and her mother was sitting over here on the bed, on her bed, and her mother said, now I'm going to take the little girl and go home, and you stay here and visit with her. And so her mother walked out, and I just kept having my hand on her head. And pretty soon, the flow stopped, and she says to me, and she must have felt it stopped, and she said, why don't you go around and sit where mother was sitting? And when I turned around, she was, like all of you, are facing me, and I was standing there. When I turned around, on the wall behind were pictures this big, and they were all owls. Big, beautiful painting of owls. I put my hand over my mouth, trying not to say it, but the Holy Spirit said it anyway. These are what are making you sick. These pictures are what are making you sick. And I thought, oh, my Lord, Jesus Christ, what in the world am I saying? And what in the world are you trying to do with me? She said, well, that big one over there, he was so mad when you prayed in tongues that he's looking mean at me. And I said, yes, and he's the king. I had no idea about anything. I had anything and everything I wanted to bring in my house. We had a beautiful home in California, new home, four bedrooms, four baths, four maids, quarters, the whole bit. I had everything, anything in there I wanted. I brought in stuff from Japan and everywhere else and decorated the house like I thought was nice. I had no idea that God cared that we don't bring any abominable thing into our house. But let's read verse, oh, well, in a minute, let me get to that. Let me read this. Our husband's wonderful. They push you up here, and then they preach. I don't have Sister Thomas in here to help me this morning. Do you agree with me, Brother Thomas? All right. You know, we have to laugh because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I tell you, if you just think about deliverance all the time, you'll go crazy. It's too much. There's so much more besides the devil. There's Jesus Christ, and he is our Lord and Savior. All right, I'll read this verse 25. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, I did not realize until the next day, I didn't know anything about having an owl in my house or not having an owl in the house. I didn't know why owls could cause cancer. I didn't know all that, and the American Cancer Society doesn't know it either. And so we're all in the same boat about cancer, but anyway, When I looked at her, she had long, the next day, she had long fingernails that curled around. And pretty soon, her husband called, and she answered the phone, and he said, how are you, or something. He'd heard the news from the clinic, she said, I'm healed. She said, Miss Miller came in here and prayed for me, and I'm healed. And she said, I want to go out to dinner tonight. By then, she hadn't had a thing to eat, like food, for 6 weeks. She was just vomiting black and had diarrhea, just black blood coming out of her. And she told him, she said, I want to go out. And he said, well, I'm going to come home pretty soon. We'll see about that. And he didn't know what was going on. And when she hung up the phone, she looked me straight in the eye. And she said, I believe I'm healed. And there was something rose up in me, and I said, I believe you are too. And she got out of bed, and I thought at the time, she walked like a penguin. See, I didn't realize that these owls had so taken her over that she had became a cursed thing, taking on the sort of the image and the style of walk and everything. I didn't realize it was an owl. I was not catching on. Sometimes I don't catch on for 3 days, and sometimes it takes 3 weeks, and sometimes it takes longer for me to catch on what the Lord is trying to show us. But anyway, she got up, and I started looking around the room. She had little bookmarks. There must have been 50 of them, all owls hanging on a picture, everywhere. And I said to her, let's walk through your house. Now, this is a lot. I said, let's walk through the house and see what else is in here that might be making you sick. We went in a little girl's room, and there was a great big frog about this tall, and it was a toy box. Great big eyes. And I didn't know. You see, until you're tuned into certain things, you don't really see and discern and realize. I didn't know that frogs in the book of Revelations are unclean spirits, symbols of unclean spirits. I know it now. I had to come home and get my Bible out. I mean, I came home and I was in this Bible half the night trying to figure out what the Lord was doing, because you just can't talk about things unless it's in the Word. You know, you have to have something to back you up. So that night about 10 o'clock, she phoned me and she said, guess what? We went out to dinner. She said, you know what I had? And I said, no. She said, I had a hamburger, French fries, and a Coke. And I said, oh. And I didn't say, I said, oh, wonderful. I hung up and I said to Glenn, if that doesn't kill her, it'll be a miracle. But she started to get better. And other ministers had prayed for her and did pray for her. And she started to get better. And within a few days, she started gaining weight. And now she's having to reduce. That's been 7 or 8 years ago. No more traces. Once or twice, we've had some traces. I will get to that part of the story. But I came on home, and I didn't even go back to the grocery store. I wasn't interested in food from that store. I had to get into this Word and find out, what is God trying to tell me and say to her, and what is going on, and what are the Nazarenes going to think, and you know, all that stuff. And then we started to look up. The abominable food, the abominable things, and the owls are listed. But it never made too much sense to me. And then we found this scripture, bring no abominable things into your house. So we started looking around, and I had all kinds of details with owls on them. I had owls around my house too, but I didn't have them up on the walls or anything. But about, I don't know how many days passed, I told her, you better get all these things out of your house. And she said, well, okay. And they were that was her hobby. Or she collected them. She had jewelry and everything. So one day, she phoned. No, I was sitting at the desk and I was working. And it was before we had the office building built. And we were in a house up here as our office. And I just, all of a sudden, I had the urge to call her. And I called her. Although we kept in touch all the time, but I called her this particular day, and she says, come up here quick. Mother is on her way. I said, why? What's the matter? What's the matter? And she said, I don't have time to tell you. Just come on up here quick. And I said, oh, I just spilled coffee down the front of my blouse. I've changed my blouse. She said, no, come as you are. I thought, what in the world is going on? So I rushed up there, and she had been walking. Well, by the way, though, she told her husband. The first night, she told her husband, and he took down the next morning. Now, she took on all the traits of an owl. She worked all night and slept all day. He was a lawyer, and she got up and vacuumed and rattled pans half the night, and he slept, and then that's the way they worked. That's the way she took on those traits. He had taken down those pictures, but he didn't take them out of the house. I guess he thought we were a little nuts, and so he just said, he put them in the pantry in the kitchen, in a big walk-in pantry. But this particular morning, she was walking down the hall, fine, and all of a sudden something grabbed her. Just grabbed her around the stomach. She just bent over double and began to vomit again. And she knew that she had to do some more house cleaning. She got back in bed, and the little girl, I think she was only 3 or 4 at the time, went in the kitchen, took out the biggest picture there was. How that child got that out, I don't know, and brought it back in the bedroom and put it under the bed. And she vomited and vomited and vomited. And she finally called her mother and called me. And when I got up there, I didn't know what I was going to find. And she said, get this stuff out of the house. She brought this in and put it under my bed. And I just felt worse and worse and worse. So we started hauling it out. Jewelry, purses, pictures, bookmarks, baby bottles even. She was climbing around like a monkey. She got up on her sink and got way up in the top cupboards and pulled out a whole bunch of baby bottles that were made like owls. We had paper sacks of stuff, and they didn't know what to do with it. And I didn't know what to do with it. I'd never been to a burning of things that come out of people's houses. And we've been to lots of burning since. And so her mother put it in the car, and her mother said, this is awful expensive. Look at that purse. I paid so-and-so for that, and I paid this and that. That's awful expensive. And, of course, cancers are expensive, too. But we weren't thinking about that. But anyway, we put it all in the car. And she kept it in the car because she didn't want to tell her husband. You know, that was pretty weird 8 years ago. Now, James Robinson, he's had a little experience with that, and Brother Davis that's here since then, but that wasn't very well known. Nobody ever done that before, carrying things out of their house and burning them. So finally her mother called one day and said, I'm going to bring it out there to Glenn. We had an old pond out here that was an eyesore, and they've been filling it up for years. We finally got it full. But they put all this stuff down in there, burned it as much as they could, and then ran the caterpillar back and forth over it and put a lot of dirt down over it with the backhoe, and that was the end of that. And she got better and better and better and better. Praise the Lord. And then we went to Paducah, Kentucky to speak. And Brother Worley was over there. And they asked Glenn and I to say something. And we told about this experience. It had just happened about 3 or 4 weeks. And we were still, you know, just really in shock almost. And a girl came to me afterwards and she said, you know, my sister went into making ceramics, and she was making owls and frogs. That's the main thing they always teach them to make. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? But that's true. And the little girl, her little 7-year-old girl, just waned away and waned away and waned away and died. And they couldn't really find out what it really was. And then all kinds of, we put it in our magazine, and all kinds of people, letters came in about how sick. We had a Baptist preacher's wife from Florida, and she started into ceramics classes, and she just waned away. My own sister-in-law's daughter, Glenn's brother's daughter, was into ceramics, and 3 years ago when we went to California, we went to visit them, and here she comes in, skin and bones. I said, honey, what's the matter with you? And she said, the doctor doesn't know. I'm just losing weight and losing weight. Her little face was about this wide, and she was a married woman with 4 children, probably about 35 years old. And during the course of our conversation, she went out to the car and brought in a great big tall owl with wooden spoons in it for the kitchen. And then I knew. so I sat down and I was telling them about this case. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And she began to weep. And her mother said, "Honey, don't pay attention to Aunt Irma. You know, they're way out." And that girl, the next year she was worse. When we went back last year, she was just almost gone, just like a zombie. And I thought, oh, God, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And we prayed for her. But they do not want to accept that. Now, countless people then begin to look over what they had in their homes, and they begin to obey the Lord. There's lots of scriptures, but I wasn't really prepared. I didn't bring the whole list. But we are not to bring any abominable thing into our house. Now, that includes abominable foods, and that includes abominable statues, and lots of things. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that are abominable that we don't even know about. But if you start studying all the lists of things that God says is an abomination to Him, you're going to change your whole way of living, and your households will be different. But if that's going to help us, you know, the body of Christ, I saw Jack Hayford in Phoenix, Arizona at a big convention. There was about 2,000 or 3,000 people there. And he said, "I want everybody that is sick to march one row at a time, very quietly, around, and then come back to your seats, one row at a time." It reminded me of a funeral, you know, when they used to march us all around, look at the casket. He said, "I want you to walk by." He didn't attempt to pray for them. He said, "Everybody that is sick in this place or maimed or has something wrong with you, I'm telling you, it took 2 or 3 hours for everybody to walk by him. He never did a thing. He just stood there." And I thought at first, well, what is he doing? What's he going to do? We always pray, you know, prayer lines and pray. I think he was just checking out his own thoughts. His people as bad off as I think they are? And they were. When we first started coming into this, I remember I went to my parents back in the Middle West, and we lived in California, and I looked in the medicine cabinet. Now, I was not brought up on medicine. We were saved in 1932 as a family, my brother and I and my mother and dad, went in early Pentecost. And from the very first day, we were taught divine health and divine healing. And I remember my parents taking all the medicine out of the medicine cabinets, throwing it in a coal hod and taking it and throwing it in the pond. And that was the end of all medicine. I was 10 years old, and until I got married, I had never been to a doctor. From that day on, from the time they got saved. And it was a big traumatic thing to have to go get my test for the doctor, you know, because I just wasn't used to doctors. And they always prayed for us. And no matter what was wrong with us, we just believed God was going to heal us. And he did. It is when we moved to California and the World War II came, and it was much, and we got jobs and started working, it was much easier to take an aspirin than pray for a headache. How many know what I mean? It's easier to take an aspirin. And I remember the day, way back, what year was it, in 66 or 67, that God delivered me from migraine headaches. And that was the end of my aspirin taking and my tranquilizers and all of that. The Lord wants us well. He wants us happy. He wants us free. We need good, healthy bodies. Now, you may say, "I don't want to be told what to eat." Well, I know you don't, and I didn't like it either. But the Lord told us how to eat. He told the children of Israel, 40 years they wandered around in that wilderness, living in tents, and their feet and legs never were swollen up. How many have swollen legs here today? Sure. But they didn't have it, but they were given a menu to eat. They were told what to eat by God, and Moses told them. And God is telling his people today what to eat. He wants us to eat this word, all of it. He doesn't want you to pick and choose. This is no cafeteria in here. It's Genesis to Revelation. It's time that we got serious with God, got serious with ourselves, and owned up to what's really wrong with us. Owned up to it. God's people need deliverance. They need to be set free. They need to be challenged about this. I tell you, I heard so many deliverance sermons that challenged me, and I didn't like some. I would go home, and I'd be mad. Oh, I'd be so mad, I wouldn't even go the next night to the meeting. We had one minister we were under, and it was right at the beginning of our coming into deliverance, and I hope to have him here sometime. He has been living in Oregon, but now he lives in Phoenix. I tell you, if you think our deliverance meetings are hard, if you could take him, you can take anybody. I never did see anything like him. He would walk up and down the aisles and do a little bit of everything. And he came to our house after 7 weeks of meetings. But I'd get so angry with him. It was in the days when we had those great big tall hairdos. And he would drink a half a glass of water and walk up and down the aisle. And some woman that was real prissy and proud, he'd throw that water right on her head. And walk right on. He said he did that to see if she really did have as much anger in her as he thought she had. After 7 weeks of meetings, it was all over, and I still had not submitted myself and come up to be prayed for. But I was crying out. I was crying out. But I was fearful. And the first time I ever did hear a demon talk out of somebody, I ran right out of the hotel, or Hilton Hotel ballroom. I ran up to the 15th floor to our room. I took two tranquilizers and jumped in bed and covered up my head. And I was already a grandmother. I could not. That frightened me. Something. I knew that wasn't that man talking. It came up out of him, and it was a gruff voice. And it says, "My name is Pride." There I go again with that word, pride. And that's what is an abomination to the Lord. But anyway, this man came. He called up after the meeting was all over, early in the morning, on Monday morning. And he said, "The Lord showed me to pray for five couples that's been coming to the meetings, and you and Glenn are one of the couples. If you would let me," he said, "the Lord told me to come to the houses, your houses, and pray." And so he said, "Would you let me come and pray?" I said, "Oh, by all means." I didn't mind to be prayed for in the loneliness of my own house. I thought that was pretty neat. And he said, "Now, I'll have a driver with me. Can he come in?" I said, "Well, sure." You know, I didn't want to say no and be impolite. So I was ready. I took out a big beach towel, and we had red wool carpeting on the den and living room and dining room floor, and I didn't want my carpet messed up, so I put up a big towel, put my clothes basket down, filled it with paper towels. I was all ready. And he came in, and he started to laugh. He's a real jovial man, and he started to laugh. He said, "You're ready." I said, "Yes, I'm ready." He said to Glenn, "Are you ready?" And Glenn said, "Yes, we're ready." And he just stood. I was standing up on this level, and we had a split-level house, and two steps down, he was in the living room, and I was standing in the dining room. And we were about eye level, because he's real tall, and I'm real short, and so we were just kind of eye level. He reached out, put his hand on my head, and he called out about 25 spirits as fast as he could, name them, including Jezebel and Pride and Fear and I don't know what all. I can't even remember now. And my shackles fell off. My chains fell off. I tell you, it was like I had always been just like this. I was just a bundle of nerves anyway from working all those hours and everything. And we had only been out of the business about, maybe 3 months or something. I was just all like this. And these chains fell off. And as a Pentecostal girl, I had not spoken in tongues. I was so bound, I had not spoken in tongues for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit exploded from way down deep in me. And I mean, it came out of me like a roar. Those demons, it pushed the demons out first. And I never vomited once. I never did anything except just let them roll out. I was so glad to get rid of them. And the Holy Spirit took over. And I began to pray in the Spirit. And I had my eyes shut, because all Pentecostals pray with their eyes closed. We don't have to, but we just were taught that way. And I was waving my arms like this, and the power of God was on me so strong, and I just brushed his forehead accidentally, and he fell like dead on the floor. And I thought my demons had killed him, and I didn't know what to think. And we were also new at that. I think it was 1966. We were so new at all of this. And God set me free. And I thought I was totally free. But boy, the next day, I mean, about 3 days, I was making strawberry preserves, I remember, and I was having a glory hallelujah time in the kitchen. And about the third day, I had washed out a blouse or a dress, and I wanted to go out and hang it on the line in the backyard. And I was afraid all of a sudden to go in the backyard. I saw something in my mind's eye like a monster of something, and I got so fearful, and I let fear come back in. And then we didn't know what to do. You know, Glenn didn't think he could pray for me because he didn't know how to pray about demons. So we had to call him up. And he said, oh, that's all right. We'll just get him right out. And so he prayed and fear came out of me. And then that started our walk in deliverance. I wanted more and more, and I still want more and more. I want every speck of it. But we're going to stop now, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to deliver you from sodomy. Now, if you have homosexual tendencies, if you have lesbian tendencies, and I know there are some here in the audience, if you have pride, laziness, idleness, gluttony, what was the other one? Haughtiness, and what else? Oh, not caring about the poor. Selfish. We're going to call those spirits out. Is that all right? Do you think we have authority over those? We'll have more authority if we repent first. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus to deliver us. You see, these spirits get nests in us. They're like nests in us. We sin, get a little spot in there. We sin again, same way. And pretty soon we've got a nest in there, and they can just hit us anytime they please. These demons don't always stay in us. They go and come. They may be handling hundreds of people, same evil spirit. But we get these nests, and they can come and attack us most any time. But today, we're going to get rid of sodomy. And nobody knows what kind of sodomy spirit you've got. But let's be honest with the Lord, and let's all pray together. I'll pray, and you repeat after me. And then you stop praying. Evil spirits come out by breathing out. And when I say breathe out, you do some gut level. That's not a very nice word, but gut level, breathing out. And I always say deliverance is like having a baby. You have to work at it a little bit. Deliverance is the children's bread. That's all. We all deserve deliverance because Jesus wants us delivered. That's our bread. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We're repenting of sodomy. The sins of Sodom that caused you to destroy Sodom. Lord, we don't want to be destroyed. We want to be delivered. We have sinned. We have sinned with pride, laziness, haughtiness, gluttony, and selfishness. We ask you to forgive us of all these sins. We ask you to wash us with your precious blood, Jesus. And we ask you to cleanse us totally. And Lord, if Michael isn't busy, could you send all the warring angels down here to fight this battle? Because we know this is serious. You cut off Sodom, and we don't want to be cut off. We thank you for what you're going to do in us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of Jesus, I bind sodomy spirits, and I command them now to start coming out in Jesus' name. Come out, pride, in Jesus' name. Come out, haughtiness, in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Selfishness and laziness, come out of these people in Jesus' name. I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Breathe them out, people. Deep breathing. Selfishness, pride, haughtiness. Homosexuality, lesbianism, come out in Jesus' name. Homosexuals, come out in Jesus' name. All of those spirits, come out of these people. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over these Christians. Jesus is Lord over these Christians. They hate pride. They hate haughtiness. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord. 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 Call out. Call out. I want to go down here.
I come and stand as a priest over this place and take authority over the demonic powers in Jesus' name, and I command you to come out of these people and set us free. Set us free in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Spirits of sodomy, spirits of homosexuality, spirits of lesbianism, spirits of pride, come out. Come out. Come out. Loose us. Loose us. Loose us. The blood cleanses. The blood cleanses. The blood cleanses. We're cleansed by the blood. We're cleansed by the blood. The blood cleanses. The blood cleanses. We're forgiven. We're washed. We're washed. The blood cleanses. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Set us free. Set us free. Loose us. Loose us. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Move. 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 Come out. Come out. Sodomy. Sodomy. Homosexuality. Move. Move. Come out. Set God's people free. Come out. I bind you. I break your powers. I bind you to dead judgment. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. Come out. Come out. Homosexuality. Lesbianism. Lesbianism. Come out. Move. Move. I bind you. Come out of God's people. Loose them. We break your powers over God's people. We set them free. We loose them. Come out. Move. Move. Pride. Spirit of pride. Spirit of pride. Come out. Move. Move. Spirit of pride. Come out. Leviathan. You spirit of Leviathan, I bind you. Come out of God's people. Spirits of pride. Leviathan, I command you. Come out. Move. Come out of God's people. Move, 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 move. I break your powers. I break your powers in Jesus' name. I break your power over God's people. Lucifer, set us free. Move, come out. Move, move, come out. Come out. Leviathan, spirit of pride. You spirit of pride. Spirit of pride of our accomplishments. Spirits of pride of our spiritual standing. Spirits of pride of what we have. Spirits of pride, come out. Lucifer, loose us. I break your power over us. Loose us. We have nothing except the Lord give it to us. I break your spirit, pride. Pride, come out. Move. 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 Come out. Loose God's people. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Move. 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 Laziness. Spirit of laziness. I bind you. I break your power. Spirit of laziness. Come out. Come out. Come out. Loose. Loose God's people. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Spirit of laziness. I break your power over God's people. Move. 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 We'll not be lazy. We'll not waste God's time. We'll not waste God's time. We'll not waste it. We'll not be lazy. Spirit of laziness. Come out. Spirit of surfeiting. Spirit of surfeiting, I bind you. Come out of God's people. Loose us, set us free. Move, move. Spirit of surfeiting, I bind you. Loose us, come out, come out. Loose us, come out in Jesus' name. Loose us, come out, move, move in the name of the Lord. Spirit of surfeiting, move, 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 come out in Jesus' name. I break your power over us. Loose us, come out, come out. Loose us, come out. Gluttony, spirit of gluttony. Spirit of gluttony, I bind you. Come on, move, move, move. I break you over God's people. We will not be gluttonous. We will not be gluttonous. We will not be overweight. I break your power. I break your power in Jesus' name. Spirits of addiction, I break your power. Spirits of addiction, I bind you. I break your power in Jesus' name. Move, move. Come out, move, move. Spirits of addiction, I bind you. I break your power over God's people. Come out, move, move. Go, go. I bind you to dead judgment. I take authority over you. I bind you to dead judgment till Jesus shall judge you. I bind you. Loose God's people. Come out, move, 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 move. Pride, pride, come out, pride. I bind your power. Loose God's people. Come out, move. Move in the name of the Lord. I break your power over God's people. Move, 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 move. Come out, move, move, move. I break your power. Loose God's people and come out in the name of the Lord. I break your powers over these people. I break your powers. Come on, move, move. I bind your dead judgment. Father, I thank you for the angels of the Lord to help us, to assist. I thank you for the angels of the Lord to assist in binding up these powers and breaking the powers of them over God's people. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. I thank you, Lord, for it. I thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn them out. I thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn them out. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you. I thank you for the blood that cleanses. I thank you for the blood that cleanses. I praise you for the blood that cleanses. I praise you for it today. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for the blood that cleanses. I praise you for it. I thank you for the blood. The blood of Jesus cleanses. Saints, and you hear that, demon powers, you hear that, the blood cleanses. You have to go. Break your power. The blood cleanses. The blood of Jesus cleanses from sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses. He washes us. He cleanses us. He takes your rights away. I break your power. I take your rights away. The blood of, apply the blood of Jesus. I apply the blood of Jesus. I take your rights away in Jesus' name. I break your powers in Jesus' name. I loose him. I loose God's people from your power. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Pride. Come out. Pride. Homosexuality. Lesbianism. Fornication. Adultery. Come out. Come out. I break your powers over God's people. Loose them. Set them free. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I bind your power, Satan. I break your power, Satan. I loose God's people from your powers. I break the bondages off of them. I break the chains. I break the fetters. I break the addictions. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I loose them in Jesus' name. Come on, move, move, move in Jesus' name. Move, 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 move. I bind you. Father, I thank you for the angels of the Lord to bind them up and keep them till you judge them. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Come on, move, move, move. Set God's people free. Set God's people free. In Jesus' name, I take authority and dominion over you, and I bind you. I have that authority. It is written, Satan, that he gives me authority over every power of Jesus, of Satan, in Jesus' name. And I take that place of authority this morning, and I break your dominion over God's people. I break your powers over them in Jesus' name. I loose them. I break.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.